The weather may be cooling down, but the deals are heating up during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, beefy burgers, cozy comfort meals, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE when you shop omahasteaks.com today. From tailgating essentials to everyday family favorites, the Red Hot Sale event is your chance to save big on everything you need to serve up fabulous fall flavor. USDA certified tender steaks, plump and juicy air-chilled chicken, easy appetizers, and even cozy comfort meals for those busy weeknights. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Blaze a trail to omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back on the RHO podcast. It's been, so I think the last regular episode was the rewilding one. I don't think that was a Friday episode. I think that was a Monday episode. Either way, we got a Friday episode coming out, actually, because this one will be next Monday. But it's been a while since we've recorded. You guys haven't been in here in a minute. So we got some stuff to talk about. Nate's already enlightened us that he's got a story. So are we leading with that, or are we saving it till we get to it?
I think he just told it off air.
Oh, I thought it was a hunting story.
No, that was a story.
Okay, so it's a different story. That was a good story, but we're not going to share it here.
Scratch that.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing.
It wasn't anything bad.
No.
But it just had to do with people that...
Yep.
We can't mention their names on the podcast.
Cannot incriminate anyone.
Exactly.
It wasn't illegal either.
Statute of limitations probably passed, but we're not going to test it. Speaking of statute of limitations and the rewilding thing, that's a thing now. We're just talking about that out there.
Unfortunately.
What I don't get is why... So if he'd have just let it sit, it would have become law anyway, and he could have been like, yeah, I had nothing to do with it, which would be the political thing to do, right?
Nah, and not for this idiot.
He could still accomplish that and try to keep whatever side of the coin, you know, both of them as much happy as he could. But oh no, he waits till the last week and just gives the middle finger to everybody on the other side and says, yeah, I'm going to sign it anyway. Mm-hmm. Just put his big JB stamp on it.
Yep.
So now the IDNR has the authority and all legal authority to reintroduce apex predators. I was telling him another part of that I didn't really cover on that one I did was the keystone species thing. I had a conversation with a guy that had worked for the DNR for a long time after I put that episode out, and he said that's the other big thing on it. The keystone species, they're trying to get those protected also, just like they would the apex predators, and that would be beavers, coyotes potentially, and bobcats potentially too. And this is all coming from money from outside the United States from this company or this group called Earth First. And they're apparently they've tried this in a bunch of different states, and Illinois was surprisingly first one to take the bait on it, and it's gotten through. So they're trying to, yeah.
So what, those idiots are probably paying the Illinois government a bunch of money, and then these guys are like, hey, yeah, you can turn these things loose.
Mm-hmm.
We live in cities, but we don't really care.
Right.
It's not going to affect us.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Exactly. It will eventually, but they're so short-sighted they can't see that.
Yeah.
That's going to affect a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I saw some people commenting like, oh, we can't sustain this species here anyway.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, exactly. Number one, I think we can.
Yeah.
Number two, even if we couldn't, they will have done enough damage because how do they sustain? They eat stuff.
Yeah.
So they're just going to eat everything they can possibly eat. And then, okay, if we can't sustain them for, let's say we can, if I didn't think we had the habitat or whatever to sustain them or the resources, let's say, okay, we don't have it past 5 years. We think they can survive for 5 years, but after that, nah, we couldn't sustain a breeding population anyway. How much damage can wolves and mountain lions do in 5 years to these deer that have never seen one?
Yeah. And a bear.
Like if I was a wolf or a bear, I promise I'd be pretty lazy. And as soon as I was able to get inside a fence and there's like 200 cows that aren't going to run from me like all the deer that I found.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to stay right there.
Yeah.
I promise.
And then when they kill those, they're just going to move to the next thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the other part.
Because the neighbors got them too.
Exactly.
And the part, you can't do nothing about it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won't let you. If you'd, just like in Colorado, if you would kill one of those things and get caught, they'd hang you. I mean, everything short of hanging you.
And they'd have trackers on them things, right? And so then they're going to be like, hey, how come your phone was the last phone anywhere close to this thing when it was still moving?
Yeah.
You know, like, ah.
I got news for them, though. If they start reintroducing those, people are going to shoot them.
Absolutely.
I mean.
And be proud of it.
Yeah. They're going to shoot them.
Keep the barrels hot, guys.
No kidding.
Yeah. This is so dumb.
I think on that last episode that I did, I was talking about, you know, this is what they're trying to do and this is what you can do about it. Call the governor's office, call DNR, whatever. Now, what can you do about it? Call your DNR officers, call the local office, call the state DNR office and tell them you do not want this to happen because they're now the ones in charge of whether it happens or not. So, I mean, if they get thousands of calls that they don't want it to happen, at least that's something, you know? And then when they come around and you shoot them, you can say, hey, look, I called. I tried to tell you.
Yeah.
But so, I just...
like, that'll all come from the top of the DNR, though, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those guys don't care what anybody else says.
No, according to this guy I was talking to...
Especially when these Earth First people are probably getting
exactly.
Like, hey, we'll give you, I don't know, $50,000 for every wolf you cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep it
exactly
in your pocket.
Yeah, now who knows where that money's coming from because it's coming from outside of the U.S. So, yeah. Like, or I mean, who knows? It's all ended up in a politician's pocket somewhere, like you said,
JB's,
for sure.
JB's hotel money that he keeps in his offshore accounts.
Yeah, exactly.
Turns out it wasn't that far away.
Yeah. He's going to have less people staying in those hotels when there's wolves. They've got deer populations in Detroit. Like, man. Used to be great big booming metropolis, and there's literally deer living in parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think that that's not going to happen with predators? And there are deer living in the metro areas around now. So, of course, if there's deer there, that's the prey. Where there's prey, there's going to be the predators, too. Mm-hmm. And you think they're going to kill city deer just like they would a fence full of cows.
And then they'll find dumpsters, you know, and cheeseburgers and whatnot, and they'll be like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Especially black bears. Like, I think the mountain lions and wolves would decimate the deer herds and cattle, of course, too.
Mm-hmm.
The black bears are going to be an issue with the people because of, I think, they're going to more gravitate towards that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they do. That's where people run into them anyway, right? Trash bins and dumpsters. Yep. And I don't think they're going to hurt the deer herd as much because I don't think they're as much of a hunter as the wolves and mountain lions. Not to say they won't, because they absolutely will.
Mm-hmm.
But I see them more on that side of things, and then crop damage, too. Yeah. And, like, if part of this is in the name of getting rid of some deer to help crop damage, well, okay, go let loose a bunch of black bears and see how you like them rolling around in your bean field. Or running through. Can you imagine a black bear barreling through a cornfield chasing after something or running away from something?
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like you took a
Nate.
Pickup truck.
Yeah.
Or Nate through there.
We're knocking down two rows the whole way.
At least.
But how many videos have you seen of them coyotes just like in the cities, just when they get in there, just in the grocery stores, and they just tear everything up trying to get them out?
Yeah, exactly. And what, wolves are going to be the same way.
Yeah.
They're going to be way worse.
Only three times bigger.
Exactly. I don't know. That's typical Illinois politics. They are so short-sighted, and all they can see is wherever money's coming from.
Yeah.
And this is where they're getting money from, evidently, right now. And unfortunately for us, like, the IDNR has become an arm of politics instead of what it was actually initially intended for.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, Department of Natural Resources taking care of conservation of our natural resources. But
seems like pretty much everything that goes on in this state, if you're trying to ruin something, you would do exactly what these people are doing.
Yeah.
If you were trying to make something decent, you would absolutely not do everything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. I feel like we could let the grade school class up here at the school run this, and like, there's no way they'd do worse.
No chance.
You know?
They would have drawn better district maps.
Yeah.
They'd make less money, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
For themselves.
Yeah.
But it would be a better system.
Yeah. But like, I every single idea that this guy has, you know, it's just like, why would you do that? Like,
And the DNR specifically, like, we have such a good model, literally our neighbor state.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, nobody can be like, well, it's the national economy. It's your location. It's people's mentality. Nah, you look at all our neighbors, and they all seem to be doing just pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely better than us.
Definitely. Iowa, for sure.
Yeah. Like, what's the problem? It's the people just running this show.
Exactly.
Like historically, you know? Like, You can't. They try to blame like so many other people. JB tries to blame Trump for like all of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man, this is absolutely you.
Exactly.
You and your buddies that have been in charge of this crap for so long. You know.
It's the typical political leader. Everything that's good was me. Everything that's bad was them. Whoever is on the other side of me, whoever's the opposite is them. And everything that's bad is their fault. And everything that's good is my fault.
Yeah.
There's no in between. I'm not taking accountability for anything that I've messed up. I'm not going to tell you that someone came in and helped me. It's going to be all this guy right here when it goes good. It's going to be all that guy when it goes bad.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to go vote as hunters, because this stuff does affect us. Like, I think that's a lot of the mentality of the guys that hunt that kind of just want to be left alone, and they don't go vote because of that. And they're like, oh, it doesn't affect me anyway. I just like to go out and enjoy wildlife. Guess what?
You ain't going to no more.
It's affecting you. Yeah. Exactly. And in a big way, if that stuff starts to happen, like you said, you're not going to enjoy it anymore.
Yeah. You're going to get chased by wolves.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe Hunter can look up how many hunters are not registered to vote.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot, because I think we looked it up before.
Man.
It was a bunch. So I remember that was a big talk. Don Jr., because he's a big outdoorsman. Mm-hmm. He had made a push to get hunters to vote. And when I was seeing that, I think that was not this election, but the previous one, 2020. And it was like, I don't want to say, maybe she can find it, but it was a huge number of hunters that didn't vote.
Have they said how many numbers of each species they're planning on releasing, or is that still up in the air?
No, I haven't seen anything. And see, that's the...
Probably as many as they can find to buy.
Right. So the other part of this is there was a guy that commented on the YouTube when I posted that first video, and he said, well, this is just a bunch of jargon and legal stuff, and they're not really going to do anything because it just says they can. It doesn't say they have to. And I'm sitting here thinking, all right,
if they can, they will.
The law doesn't tell them they have to raise our taxes every year either. But guess what? They freaking do.
That's one of their favorite things.
Exactly. So now, and besides that, why go through all of this?
To not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, it's crazy. If you minimize that on this screen, we'll be able to see the Google. So if you move the mouse over here to this screen and then hit the green button, scroll your mouse to the right and get it on this screen. Okay, now go up there to that. If you minimize that, and then you drag Chrome over to this screen, we'll be able to see it. So you have to get your mouse back over there. Yeah. We are figuring this out as we go on the TV stuff. We're trying to do some more of this. So based on available information, it's not possible to provide a definitive number of Illinois hunters and not registered vote. However, we can use the provided data to make some inferences. 2022 to 23, there were 235,564 Illinois residents purchased hunting licenses. The registered voter population, as of about a week ago, there are 8 million registered voters. Approximately 76% of Illinoisans 18 and older are actively registered voters, meaning about 24% are eligible but not registered. Some portion of the 235,000 are among the 24% of Illinoisans who are eligible, a portion likely already registered to vote. So it doesn't really give us a number.
The next one, based on these numbers... So 24% of that 235,000
right
are eligible but not registered.
Right.
So
can you find nationally? Can you look up and see how many hunters are not registered to vote in U.S.?
Right there.
Yeah, and we'll see what that brings up. Hmm. 10 million, right here, that first one, 10 million, over 10 million gun owners and hunters in the U.S. are unregistered to vote. See, I was thinking it was, the last number I saw was 13 million, so that wouldn't have been far off. 2022 indicated 14.4 million hunters, age 16 and older. Okay, so over 10 million hunters and firearm owners are not registered to vote.
Ouch.
Yeah, in elections in states that are won by... Mm-hmm. How many votes? I mean, that's a big thing. So if you go and you maximize, you can drag your Google back over to your screen, and then if you maximize the other thing, it'll pop back up on this screen.
It's supposed to be 325,000 people that they admit are in the country, right?
325 million, yeah.
Oh, that, yeah. Million. And so then 10 million are not, but could be.
Yep.
from those be people that would be voting likely. Hey,
at the very least, that's 10 million people that could balance out the however many million that are here that are supposed to be there voting.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
At the very least.
You remember, I think it was in the 2020 election. It was like Minnesota or, no, it was it Michigan? It was one of the northern states.
Swing states.
Had more votes cast than there were registered voters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did that not grind to a halt? And let's actually figure this out.
Right.
And they're all just like, dang.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's pretty crazy. Nothing to see here.
But we're going to color that one blue.
Yeah. We got the result we wanted. Nothing to see here.
It's like, what in the world?
Yeah, but see.
That would not fly anywhere.
No. If that happened the other direction, though.
They would still be losing their minds.
Exactly.
They'd still be talking about it today.
Yeah. Kind of like we are. Except they would have never let it happen.
And then they'd like.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Burn stuff down still.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We're talking about Detroit earlier. It'd be crazy.
We went off into politics now.
Man, we did.
We need to rewind it back to
Sorry,
hunting.
Guys. We like hunting deer, too. I don't know.
But it all does tie back in because that's what we were talking about. I mean, mm-hmm. That stuff affects. If there's 10 million people out there that are hunting that aren't voting.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, you got no right to complain.
Yeah.
If you don't go vote, don't come crying to me that your politicians are trying to sell your public land.
Yeah.
Or are trying to reintroduce apex predators.
They say that's not done yet either.
They'll try to bring it back.
They're going to try and bring that back.
Yep.
Selling?
Yep.
Yeah.
But that was proof, though, that if you get on the phone and make enough noise on social media and with your local representatives, then you still have some say in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, like in today's politics, it's the loudest voice is the one that always gets heard. Sometimes you got to be the loudest voice.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to stuff like that. That was one issue, though, I thought was pretty cool that even like both sides of the aisle, there were some people that came together. So it's nice to see that there are still some issues that people can get together on because. Yeah.
Joe Rogan helped on that one, though.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a guy with that much influence, if he starts talking about something, people are going to listen, just like the election.
Mm-hmm.
But. I mean, every organization you can think of that had anything to do with public lands is just blasting out email chain after email chain about, hey, call your representative, tell them we do not want this.
It's just not hunters that was going to lose that. That's any kind of recreation.
Anybody that uses it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hikers, mountain climbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of a sudden, these places that are like very high on their list to go, like, yeah, hey, we're going to sell that, and you ain't going to be able to go there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is literally taking people's dreams away.
Yeah. And part of that, too, they were like, well, we're only going to sell, it was like so many miles outside of a suburban area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, let's say it was 5 miles from the edge of town. Okay, well, now we sell that and they develop it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're 5 more miles from the edge of town.
Yeah, as soon as they
and
move city limits,
that.
As soon as they move city limits, we're like, hey.
Exactly. There's
more
5 more miles.
They're like, yeah, we're going to sell this, make money off selling it. Yeah. Then we're going to tax the crap out of all these people and make more money.
Yeah. Man.
And
just like about that, it wasn't just hunters. It was everybody that uses the outdoors, everybody that recreates in the outdoors on public ground, because not everybody has a place they can go on private ground to go do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you go? Public ground, national parks, state parks, wildlife areas, stuff like that. That's what's the other problem with this rewilding stuff in Illinois is now you go down to the Shawnee National Forest and you want to go hiking. You really want to be worried about a mountain lion sitting up
Could
on one of the rocks?
Could you imagine all them horse riders that go down? Because that's popular down there. And next thing you know, you're getting knocked off by a mountain lion that's eating your horse.
Yeah, and how many people does it take a year for that to become a problem for them? Are they just like,
Or they just don't care. They won't care.
To me, one person dying from that is too many because there's no reason for it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But to them, I feel like they would just be like, it's only a couple of years, it'd be fine.
Whatever.
It's not me.
Whatever, guys, cut that thing loose. Should be personally responsible for doing that.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Like, whoever made the decision.
That is so dumb.
Yep. So we'll see what comes of that in all this. Hopefully we're not having to worry about carrying a sidearm walking to your stand because of that.
You don't do that already?
Because of that. I've heard enough.
That was a joke.
I've heard enough stories about guys shacking up and hunting with lions that I don't often go without something. There was a guy living not too far from here, and a couple of, they had some out-of-state guys had hard blinds, and they found his, as a squatter basically, but he was living in their hunting blinds. Can you imagine opening it up, some meth head sitting there in your hunting blind, taking a crap in the corner? Eating his little Debbie snacks?
He would see a bright flash.
The flashlight. The flashlight. But that's just one thing we don't need to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So, but why?
Man, yeah, like taking kids with us to the outdoor, you know?
Yeah.
Like this time of year, we're going out, we're checking tree stands, you know? Kids are running through the woods, like they have fun with that, checking cameras and whatnot.
Yeah.
You'd be spooked the entire time.
Yeah, currently we have no reason to be worried about a predator.
No.
With a size kid that's going to be able to go out there and do that with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coyotes, bobcats are going to be way more scared of them.
Yeah.
Unless they just happen to stumble over a den,
mm-hmm.
which is likely not going to happen.
Yeah.
But
we've not heard any reports of that.
No. Mountain lion or wolf,
mm-hmm.
Forget about it. They'll just kill mm-hmm. for the sport of it.
Yeah.
They've seen that out west. Like, they'll find herds of elk that have been killed and not even eaten.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, these packs of wolves just go start killing for sport, mm-hmm. and they'll maybe eat one and then move on. Mountain lion's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... But And Illinois has done such a great job with the bobcat population that I'm sure they'll stay right on top of the wolves and the mountain lions.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be way too late before they ever let anybody do anything, and then it won't be enough, and then they won't move fast enough with that.
If they want to do something good, they need to do something about the tick population.
Oh, shoot. Well, maybe the bears can take them all up.
Yep.
Release herds of guineas everywhere.
There you go. Huntable population of guineas.
Boy, that'd be loud.
Wouldn't it?
That would be...
Turkey season would be interesting.
Yeah. You go sneaking through the woods and all of a sudden them things start squealing, whatever mm-hmm. the heck they do. Man.
Oh, shoot.
At one time, years ago, we talked about, there's some guys I used to shoot bows with. We talked about trying to cut some guineas loose in his woods, like 3 or 4 weeks before we wanted to start shooting.
You know,
they'd get used to it. They'd get calm. They'd stay there. You might feed them a little bit. Then... We try sneaking through these woods and shooting them. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're going to make a game out of it, you know?
Right.
That would have been hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that'd be hard. Like, those things, once they realize that you are not friendly anymore, it'd be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be a challenge.
It'd be like turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the idea. Maybe we should try that. That's probably not legal.
Probably not.
If we try it, you guys won't know about it. Yeah, that's just something we don't need to worry about. We don't need to have to worry about. Unfortunately, it's... a reality that we might have to now, but
yeah,
until we get to that point, call your DNR office, the local office, the state office, whatever. Let them know that that ain't what you want, because they're the ones that are in charge of that now. It's already passed. Legislator has passed the governor's desk, his great sniff test, and it's on. It's law. So it's on the DNR now. But we are getting close to October. Like, so, well, there's states that are opening and a couple weeks, right? Like,
I
Kentucky
think South
opens.
South Carolina, I think, is open already.
They open early, early. And then I think maybe Tennessee has one real early season or something, like one weekend maybe.
Yeah.
But then, like, Kentucky opens for good, usually, like...
the first Saturday.
Yeah. The first week September. Of September.
Yeah. So it'd be, and like, then, the 6th this year.
And then Kansas, Kentucky, and I'm sure some... or Kansas, Missouri, and I'm sure some others will open on September 15th. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're getting down to it.
Man.
I have no cameras up yet. I do have my food plot sprayed and ready to go, waiting on rain. But I don't have pictures of anything. I know Dusty's got some out because he's been sending me some pictures of some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to a guy the other day, he's got some pictures of some decent bucks already. But you just put yours out. You pulled them yet?
No. No? Three cameras up
Cell cams or
10 days, regular.
Regular cams?
Yeah.
You ain't pulled them yet?
No. I need to get all the rest of them up.
Where's the ones you have up?
Sprout Patch, the east end of the North Woods, and then the west plot. I just kind of scattered them.
The North Woods would be where Nate's had two awesome bow shots in the last 2 years, for those of you that watch Fall Pursuit.
Almost awesome bow shots.
If those deer would have been at 40 yards, they'd have been pinwheeled.
Yes.
45, I thought. 44.
Yeah.
I love how you say that bow just shoots
45 yards no matter what.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where the deer's at, that bow's shooting 45 yards.
Man.
You got a new one this year, though.
Yep.
We still got to move that stand, too, right? Or did you get it moved yet?
No. I got everything set up. I shifted the plot for the new tree. I should have done this earlier, sooner, I suppose.
Typical Nate.
I've always tried to stay inside the woods a little bit more. That other tree's a lot brushier. It should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably cut limbs and screw them to the tree, you know, to try to block it a little bit more from the plot side. And just cut me a couple of holes to shoot there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to, like that goofy buck, you know, that came in right there.
You made a scrape right there under that tree.
Yep. Like, in general, most of the deer that move through the plot are cutting that edge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely ever had anything but does come in close where I was, you know. All the bucks were normally skirting that. I don't think I'll lose anything by doing this. It'll also be the final 20 yards getting in that stand are going to be way better.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even 30, because I won't have to try to make it up that little bit of an incline. Mm-hmm. I'll still be able to stay down over there.
And on that edge.
Yes. Yeah. Entry and exit should be a little better. I'm very cautious on what I'll ever do going in there, but it should make it even better, even easier, just because that last little bit that's so sensitive.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think that'd be a lot better tree.
I'm hopeful for that. It seems like it's got a little bit of a lean to it. I hope it's not too bad.
You can deal with that. Shoot a buck, can't you?
I hope so. Yeah. Get in there. Got two other stands to put up on the place where I killed that buck last year with a gun over there. Also got, seem to have permission for more over at that place that I shared with that other guy. Over there by my cousin's place. Seem to have more over there. And it's like a woolly wilderness down there. But anyway, don't know anything about it. Never been over there. So anyway.
Good place for cameras.
For sure. I'm hoping the other guy dumps a bunch of money into it like he likes to.
And then shares everything with you?
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
It's always worked out okay so far. But anyway. So I got a lot to look forward to. Man, got so much to get done before I can get there.
Yeah.
And Combine's going to be way late.
Yep. Oh, that's going to be for everybody.
It's a good thing we know where these places are.
No kidding. Nate's not going to be here for a month and a half.
Yeah. Somebody needs to go kill something.
We got all the way to like November 5th to get it done, because that's his day. He's going to be there on November 5th, right? 5th?
It's been a good day.
Yeah.
It's been a good day.
Good. No, the other one was November 2nd or October something. The one you shot and didn't find.
That was November 5th.
That was the 5th also.
November 5th, 2019.
Good and bad day.
Terrible day. Terrible day.
You got cameras
for me and for a specific deer.
Yeah. I thought you said you hadn't got them out yet.
No. I've been slacking this year.
He's mowed.
Yeah, I got my plots mowed.
Stuff ready for plots.
You got seed.
Will, once we...
Yeah, there's seed in this building.
Pay the man.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you can take it tonight.
No spray, hopefully tomorrow.
I still got spray in the sprayer. There's still some spray in the sprayer. It's ready to go.
Bingo.
It's primed up. It works good.
Even after you hooked it on the tree?
Yeah, I straightened it out. That was almost devastating. Man, I was so mad.
Yeah.
Royce and Kaylee were with me, and I did it, and I was like, what was that? And I snapped my head back and looked. I saw that boom twisted around back there, and I was like, ah! And then, like, all night, Royce goes, Daddy, we bent the boom on the sprayer? And I was like, yeah, we did. Like, stop talking about it. I'm done. Yeah. You know,
all that hard work I put into building that thing.
No kidding.
Hey, welds held.
That's right. Weld anything from a, what's that thing that was over that video?
I don't know.
Left hand or right handed up the wall down.
Not a clue.
I have done some work for a few Black Widows. You have to go back and watch the vlog where you guys were spraying, because that was the that old man that was kind of cross-eyed, yeah. The welder guy. You remember that?
Kinda. Yeah. Kinda.
Yeah. Hey, pull that up. Go to our YouTube, and it was the vlog from last year when Nate and Blake were spraying.
I thought about recording more of my spraying this year, and I was like, I'm going to send him the exact same video I sent him last year.
So. I haven't recorded anything this off season, so apologies to anybody who was wanting to see that.
They're on the edge of their seats. They're like, what are these guys doing?
What are these idiots doing this year? How are they going to screw it up?
We got lazy this year is what happened.
Yeah.
It's been too hot.
You guys got lazy. I've been like this for years.
The other thing, though, is like this spring and stuff like that, it is so wet.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, if you didn't, if it wasn't just what you're doing all the time, if you're not off those days to do something, I'm sure there's a lot of people had plans for spring plots that probably didn't get them in because.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, on your off days, if it's breaking flooding like it was all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that big plot that.
It's not in podcast. It should be in videos, regular videos from last year.
You have to go to the top and go to videos or shorts.
Yeah. Oh. No. Well, those are all. It was before that.
But yeah, that big food plot, I was planning on putting it to beans this year, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
shoot, it didn't get dried out till July.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's too late for this now.
I got. I'm gonna try to plant some beans for a few guys. I got. The seed is next to nothing, so I mean, I got it for next to nothing, so I'm gonna put some of those out late beans, which they'll still grow, just no matter how many beans they're gonna put on. But these guys are more early season hunting anyway, so
yeah, I was wanting as much bushels as I could for late season. yeah, so
kind of getting late on that. And then it's I don't know, a lot of guys
at Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I just got them in late, so it wouldn't be quite as bad early as far as them eating yours when the other ones are turning, but...
Well, that's the thing. This year, early season might be good if you can find the right bean field with as late as they got put in.
Yeah, so I'm thinking either they'll be making that transition from green to green just a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously they will be. So that could be good if you got a good green food plot, because they're going to hit it in the hunting season rather than some years. That happens in September, mm-hmm. and we kind of miss that. Or if you still got the beans out there.
I was going to say, there's going to be pretty green bean fields.
So that's like permission, guys, especially if you're not able to put food plots out. It could be good, even late mm-hmm. season, because there's going to be some corn out there for a long time this year, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I
up into gun season.
I cannot imagine we'll start before October 1st.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just as late
Does that mean you're going to be out there October 1st?
No. We all know that that's not going to happen.
I don't doubt that there'll be corn in places up into gun season.
And then we also... Like, it never rained in October last year, so we just rolled.
No,
we never got rained out, you know?
The last 2 years, we didn't get rain from...
Food plot time?
Yeah.
I mean, June until November?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll see if I can find this and send it to her, or send it to my other computer. You find it?
But...
I can't hear you. You're going to have to use the microphone.
Come on, Jamie.
I have a playlist that says Nate's 24 blog.
Well, that's probably it.
Well, I don't know. It just says there's one video.
Killing Nate's Clover Plot is the title of the video.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure if that was right.
Yep, that's the one.
Tell me a name.
You're coming through. So hit the mute button on the computer first until you get to that part. There we go.
We're rookies.
Yeah, this is all new stuff for us. So we've done a few episodes in here. What? I don't think we've actually used a TV yet.
Mm-mm.
And I haven't had anybody in studio. So this is the first time people are getting to see the fox over there behind Nate. But... yeah, you can go ahead and get that ready. But it's a little bit into the video. It's when he's talking about welding it. I don't know. So hit play on that, and I'll tell you when to turn the sound on. For those of you that are audio only, this is not going to be great for a second, but that's all right. Well, you should go to YouTube.
Look at that fine machine.
I liked how you were talking about everything being sponsored. Go ahead and unmute it.
It is.
On the keyboard. we got to get that in there when you can. I also like when you cut to Blake over here and he doesn't say a word. He just looks at you.
I was thinking, this guy's an idiot.
Hey, turn that up a little. Perfect. I don't know, audio people, hopefully they can hear that, but...
If they can't, go to the YouTube channel.
Exactly. Killing Nate's Clover Plot is the name of the video, but you can also watch this on YouTube.
I like how he says we.
Yeah. That guy. I clipped that out of, okay, you're good. I clipped that out of like at least a minute long, maybe 2 minute long spiel of him just doing that. Like it was an advertisement for his welding business. And yeah, so anyway, that's the guy I was talking about. What do you think from the crack of dawn and broken hearts? that's Nate.
It was
his welds didn't break.
It was the Newport sign in the background that did it for me.
Yep.
Nate didn't do no welding. He tried and said, I give up.
Man.
So whose welds were they?
Blake's on the mainframe, and then my father-in-law helped me with the boom and everything.
He did like...
So your weld held.
One foot extensions. It's hard to weld them old ladder stands. Those things are thin.
It's hard to get anything to weld on.
Yeah, they're so thin. Yeah.
Especially when they're as rusted out as them was.
Uh-huh. Hey, sounds like it did all right, though.
Yep, successful.
So
we've killed a lot with that thing.
You say, between the three of us and whoever else has used it.
Yeah, you sprayed a solid 5 acres with it.
Sean's seven.
7 acres with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I sprayed 3.5 acres with it the other day.
Yeah.
I think we sprayed like 15 acres with it last year.
I bet I sprayed 10 acres with it last year.
Well, when I had, I had 5 acres out there by the lone tree. Four and a half.
Yeah.
And then two and a half more there. And then you're saying, we sprayed. That dude has killed a bunch of weeds.
Mm-hmm. For a 15-foot boom sprayer.
Redneck ingenuity.
That's right.
So many times I'm so stupid. I don't even put the lid. I forget to screw the lid on that tank. And I pulled up there to the sprout patch the other day and I was like, man, I smell that chemical strong. Well, it's everywhere in the bed. The Rangers sloshed out everywhere. I've just been smoking weeds where it's just been running out of the back of the,
You can blood trail him everywhere.
You can track you everywhere.
Yeah, for real. It's like, man.
We shouldn't have to use, that's what you need to do is just dump that sprayer chemical out and just drive around where you want the trails to go.
There you go.
Don't even have to mow.
That's true. I know a guy. There's a guy at church that he says that he prefers the backpack sprayer. He says he walks backwards and does it the whole time. Walks backwards.
I'm tripping over everything if I do that.
I think I'm going to walk forward and have my arm behind me. But hey, whatever you want to do.
Or you can just hold out
different
to the
strokes,
side.
Man.
but yeah.
Way too much thought.
Yeah. But that's how he does his trails. And he says that he feels like his mature bucks will use that more than they will use a 6-foot mowed path.
Because they have that brush brushing against them still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still feel
tight.
They're literally half a step out in the brush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talk about that a lot of times in those bigger trails. And you've seen it some in your CRP, I'm sure, mm-hmm. those bigger bucks. The does will use it like a highway.
Every mm-hmm. single time. If they're moving normally, they're going to use it every single time.
The big
time.
Bucks, either cutting them or they're paralleling them or something. They're usually not walking down the middle of it
most of
the time, right?
See, yep. I didn't mow any trails this year, just... From what I noticed, the mature bucks never use it, so that's why I didn't mow any this year.
The basket racks do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not them big guys.
Yep. They figure it out. That's probably why the big guys don't, because the basket racks have a bad experience on a big trail.
They're like, dang, I don't know what it is about these short weeds.
Yeah, and if one of them makes it, if he makes it, then he's never doing that again. Yeah.
I do have noticed that, like, a mature buck will use it if it's close to, like, some kind of scrape or something he wants to hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's right back off of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. They don't like feeling exposed at all. That's
that's why they stay close to the edges on food plots.
Oh, yeah. And they're, I mean, they can cover so much more. They can cut so many more tracks of does that way, too, like in the rut and stuff. And it just, they're like one bounce from safety or where they feel safe. It's also why you'll see a big buck stand up, either, like, say one stands up out of his bed and you hadn't seen him, or one, like, I'm sure if you think back, you can think of a time where you've seen a big buck come to the corner of a field or a food plot or something and just stop for 30 seconds, maybe 30 minutes. Like, literally, I've seen them stand there for 10, 15 minutes and just do nothing but look.
Time don't mean a thing to them things.
No, they don't care.
Nope.
They don't care. They just need to be alive.
They ain't got nowhere to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they'll stand there for a long time, but that's why, because they just, and that's why they don't like walking down those trails. But
yep.
You're talking about trailing you around. That reminded me, Dusty, you guys know is colorblind. So he's...
Oh, yeah. The app he just got?
Yeah, he's like... Blood trailing, he'll do pretty good on a big spot, but and he'll tell you this. But then a little spot, he's like, hey, is this blood? It's like, nah, it's just water. Because it just looks like he can kind of tell liquid, but he can't tell the color of it.
Yeah.
So he said he got this app the other day. I don't know what he said. Tim Wells has been using it or something. And he said he had his wife go make him a fake blood trail in the yard with ketchup. And he said he followed right through it. He said, this is going to be a game changer for me this year.
Yep.
Like, so if you need the blood trail, call Dusty. I'm sure he's going to be excited to use that for the first 10 or 15 times.
Yeah.
I asked him who had to shed blood to get to test it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, she was trying to cut me.
Old Heinz 57.
Back to the trails thing. I read somewhere, or maybe I heard it on a different podcast, but the people that do the trails, people always make them a long straight line.
Yeah.
Oh,
instead
yeah.
of...
Yeah, instead of waving and what...
Yeah, or making like and, at least a V or something.
Yeah, yeah, and they said that also deters bucks, even regular deer, from using it.
Yeah.
Because the predators can just hop out,
yeah,
check it, and move.
And
on
the
them.
Buck can just see down it. He don't have to go down it to check for does.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can just see straight down that thing, as bad as they are at seeing far away, they can still recognize shit.
An object.
Obviously. So if they don't see anything down there of interest, they're just going to keep on moving.
Yeah.
If it's got a couple bends in it, he's got to at least make that bend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just one big bend, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to make it to halfway out there to see down the other side of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's 50-50 whether he's going to keep going down it or split it or whatever. But
if it's my luck, he's going the other way.
Just turn around and go right back where he came from.
I have always tried to keep him no more than 30 yards before I make some kind of bend.
Yeah.
Completely offset to where you can't see it anymore. I normally, when I'm back there in the backfield, I try to mow. And think about where my tree stand is, you know, keep that in mind. And then keep some straight stretches where I can hopefully see movement coming down one of the straight stretches, you know. But I'm not going to leave it straight very long.
Right. That's the same thing with big food plots. Guys run into that a lot of times, especially if you're talking like a destination field. Or even these guys that want 2-3 acre food plots they're trying to kill deer on. If you just have a big open 2-acre, 3-acre field, especially depending on the layout around it, like you're probably better off to split that thing in half with at least some corn or maybe some kind of grass that you like, switchgrass or an annual blend.
Yeah.
That way he at least has another edge he's going to try to work, and he can't just see across it. Because I'm sure, again, you've seen a buck come into the bottom of your food plot and maybe just barely top over the hill, and then you never see him again. Well, he saw everything he needed to. He didn't
That's
have to come
right.
down to your stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, like, big food plots, it's nice to have the food, but if you don't break those things up, it's hard to kill deer in them with a bow.
Yep.
With a gun, it's a different. Like late season over a bean, two to five acre bean field, if there's a buck around, you're going to kill him there, right?
Yeah.
Like as long as he doesn't take a step.
Right. But you still killed him. You have told the story on
don't
here.
Don't feel
so
good about it.
People know what you're talking about. If they don't, they can go back and listen to that one. But he did die.
A slow, painful death.
Yeah.
He didn't make it that far. He really didn't.
Well, he could have went down. I thought about this way
I
too
bet
much.
He didn't.
You never know.
I bet
Was
he
you there?
Didn't. I bet he didn't.
Well, anyways, if you're sitting on a big open bean field in late season, that buck's probably going to be there, likely in the daylight. If you're trying to bow hunt him, though, shorten that thing down with some same thing as those trails. Like, make it to where he has to come out into it. He feels like he has to work those edges. So I was, some guys that just did a a 4-acre plot for, just big open area. I was like, we'll break this thing up, because now instead of him just standing there at that corner for, let's say, 10 minutes and looking and then turn around and leaving, mm-hmm. now he might spend 2 hours working all your edges in that 4-acre area, because like you said, time don't mean nothing to him. He's just looking for a doe, mm-hmm. or he's just looking for scrapes in the pre-rut, or if it's even early season, he's just going to walk. He's got edges to move to that food plot now, instead of feeling like he has to walk through this big open area to get to what he wants to eat. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. he's going to feel more secure even early season too.
Yeah,
that's why a lot of times, like early season, some of the bigger bucks will be killed like clover plots back in the timber, those small little kill plots, because they feel so secure in there, and they'll be in there at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. When his belly's rumbling, he's like, that's safe. Yeah. I'll hit that one.
If it's 100 yards from his bed,
yeah,
why that's, not?
That's why your sprout patch is so good.
Oh, yeah. It's tucked down in there, and entry and exit is so good.
Your sprout patch is... And especially if
and
you're
it could be
a,
so much better.
Are yeah. you switch? What are you switching it to?
Grains and greens. Okay. I'm
so
hoping,
less clover. Where's the clover in that? There's, no, still, there's a little. Clover.
It's not as much though. No. Inner Sanctum is almost all clover with some kale and triticale in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My goal there, John, if you listen, tell me I'm an idiot if I am. My goal that like as soon as it frosts, that kale is smoked.
Yeah.
You know. They love it.
And it doesn't have the bulb.
Hmm. So I'm thinking this year I wanted to try to have something that lasts longer, move to grains and greens to where it will hopefully stay greener longer than that kale would.
And it still,
but again, I don't know if it's going to work or not.
It still does have the clover and the radishes for early season, too.
Yeah.
Like big leafy Is stuff they like.
Is your plan to switch that to a full clover plot?
No. No. I'll keep doing the annual stuff like I have been. Frosty Delight on the north plot, Fall Draw on the south plot again. Like that south plot is dynamite, especially if it rains. Like mm-hmm.
It's just so open, it just gets baked.
Correct. Yeah, on the south side of that woods there, and like the first 15 yards is toast because those giant oak trees, you know, mm-hmm. like they take everything there. No, if I get rain, it's always still good. They get out there and they pick at the little stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get rain, man, it's good.
Yeah.
But no, I'm hoping the sprout patch, hoping it will stay better later. Mm-hmm. You know, because once that kale starts turning, they don't want to.
You don't hunt early season, so.
No.
No.
He's
got to focus on, like, November.
Gun season.
Second week of November on.
Yeah. And also, man, if I didn't have a problem with dogs running around, mm-hmm. like, that should be absolute dynamite. With that setup and everything, there's just so much pressure. And now they're going to be logging that 40 south of me, you mm-hmm. know.
That should make that even better.
That was my idea. Yeah. I'm thinking all this, the activity down there is going to keep them stirred up, pushed up even tighter than they have been before. I want to try to ensure I have food later down there, you know. Mm-hmm. And they might just hammer it so much harder, you know. It's only like 9/10 of an acre.
You know what we need to do again, like we used to do? Put them tomato cages out just to see.
Yeah.
A growth ring.
Yeah.
You remember, like, when we did that, I'm thinking, like, this is a waste of time. You remember how that stuff in them cages was that tall?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Or like, dang.
Yep. That happens
there. The browse pressure is insane.
Those small plots that I put out at the cabin, especially the one by the cabin,
mm-hmm.
like, you think, man, I just ain't getting no rain. The dirt's not great anyway, but, mm-hmm. like, something's off here. But I put out cages before, and it's just, I mean, they just hammer it.
Yeah.
And it's... Because especially like that's right there in all that cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those does will come out of you all day long.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you put a cage out there, then
yeah.
you got stuff that's 2 foot tall. And it's like, yeah. you're just like, wow.
All right, I'm doing some good.
Yeah. Everyone needs to at least try that just so they have an idea yeah. like mm-hmm. how much browse pressure that you
yeah.
get.
If you guys, if you don't think that your food plots are working, you don't think they're growing, you know, get you some chicken wire and a couple posts and make a ring out there with some zip ties in it. Yep. It'll show you. Like, it's yeah. working.
It either is or it isn't.
Yep.
And if it's the same height in that cage as everything else, then, okay, maybe you got problems with something else.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But I almost promise it's going to get taller in that cage. And it'll look like the picture on the bag of whatever you
exactly.
bought.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And then if you have that problem, you've either got not enough stuff there for the amount of deer in the area, or you need to kill some deer. Or there's not enough other stuff for them to eat, and they're just hammering your food plot. Mm-hmm. If you feel pretty good about your deer numbers, and they're still doing that, it's probably because they don't have enough natural brows or something else. If you feel like you've got pretty good natural brows, like they're at the cabin, but they're still doing that, it's probably like in that case, the food plot's just not quite big enough to sustain the amount of deer that are there. So, mm-hmm. And I don't have the space to make that one any bigger, but mm-hmm. I've added some more to it. So
fingers crossed on your lead.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully. It'll be all right. There's got to be parts of that, though, that are so thick you can't even see through them, let alone walk through it.
So like how it used
but
to be
the
there?
North end of that. Mm-hmm.
I don't see a problem.
Well, the problem is the deer can't use it either.
Oh,
like I think
that.
It's that thick.
Oh, it's like
you can
autumn olives.
Oh yeah, I mean I could work with it, but yeah, I think there's probably parts of that right now that I have to do a lot of work to.
You got with a lighter? One of them sweet,
huh?
You got a lighter?
Yeah, no kidding. That'd probably be what I'd do.
I know a guy that has one of them sweet mulchers on the front of his skidder.
Uh-huh. The good thing about those autumn olives is they don't take nothing to get rid of them.
Yeah,
I mean pop them right out. Pull them out. Now, obviously they're going to come back because that's what they do. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how long have we been going for?
About 50 minutes.
About 50 minutes. All right.
Mm. Back to big open fields. This has been a dream of mine for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to break my food plots up. Anything over half an acre, I want to split it somehow.
Yeah.
With switchgrass or, you know, something.
Yeah.
Something, a visual break for extra edges. But again,
that sedan grass is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That
if I'm sitting right here mm-hmm. and I got a plot, I'm going to make a big V
yep.
to where I have like a 25-yard shot. And that dude could work the outside edge if he wanted, and it'd work for him. But I want him to think that it's way easier to come to me.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's another theory on that. I saw somebody that did that, and I was like, dang, they're smarter
than
me.
Have you ever seen mm-hmm. that one picture? The guy, it's a big plot. I think it's like 10 acres or something like that. But the guy has corn everywhere. The whole thing's corn.
Mm-hmm.
But he went in and planted, I think it was clover.
Oh, mowed strips and sowed clover?
Yeah, and it's all just curvy trails right to the center.
Yeah.
And his blinds right there.
Yeah.
Like, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Has he left him like corn in the back to where he can blow his wind over a certain direction
yes.
or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like he'd knocked down one row so he could walk,
so he could
in
walk through it.
Yeah.
That is like, one of these days, if I have enough room to do that, I'm going to do that. Plant corn as my access and knock guest rows down in it, because that is just
so good.
Solid.
Yeah. One of my...
As long as they don't bed in right there.
Right.
One of my favorite videos ever. I know you guys probably won't like it, but Don Kiske shoots this buck that is just this ginormous 10-point frame
mm-hmm.
out of a blind in a cornfield. And, like, that was their entry and exit, you know.
Yep.
Walk through the corn.
You talking about the one that died on the levee?
Yeah, that
kind of flipped.
Which
one you're talking
about. That deer was huge.
Did he shoot him, like, right in? I might be thinking of a different one.
I don't know that they got the shot actually on camera.
Okay, I'm thinking of a different one.
Because I think cameraman was trying to change windows,
mm-hmm.
and, like, it was right there for Don. Don't blame Don a bit. I would do it again tonight.
Right.
You know.
Well, you better not.
Well,
he said he would. He didn't say he was going to.
Yeah, that thing runs and it kind of flips over that levee. And then he goes and grabs a hold of that thing. And it's just huge.
It was just like a 180-inch clean tent.
Giant.
Just
giant
a frame. Nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite
videos. They did that. That's what they do is still, I think, don't they? They still set up in the corn.
Probably. Yeah, like, I mean, that's, you got woods. You got a food plot that you've made. And then you own the field, too. You're like, hey, I'm not going to shell a couple acres of corn.
Yeah.
I'll do that later. And it's perfect. Yep. Your winds, you know, you can control so much of that.
There was a video from Heartland. They had killed a couple deer in. They got standing corn. And then so, like, standing corn on any side of this that they've got mowed down. So it's basically like a food plot in the middle of timber. But it's standing corn, and then they've got mowed corn in the middle of it. And then they got their blind over here. Whatever, and they've got a little access on this corner.
Mm-hmm.
So these deer all just filter right in front of this blind. They killed two slobs in late season like that. Like,
you know where
similar.
They're going to dump in.
Exactly.
If you give it to them.
And if that's the only food around late season, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Just like the bean field thing. So.
Yeah.
Corn and beans are super solid for food plots. They're not, like, corn's not the most nutritional thing. And it's also, you got to have the space to do it, because depending on your deer numbers, it might take 2 acres, it might take 20 acres to get something to grow. But, I mean, when you're talking late season stuff and they're needing those carbs, like, it's hard to beat a mowed cornfield. And they know that they like it.
Acre and a half plot I planted last year, greens and greens or whatever it's called. the deer flocked to it when we had that extreme cold and thick snow.
Yeah.
Like there was 20, 30 deer out there every day. And at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That spot is going to be like so good for you. I really think it is. Already has been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't really.
Already has been.
Yeah.
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 I still don't feel good about it.
But you should.
We'll see what happens this year. I think, I thought about doing a whole Friday episode on this, but Fall Pursuit will probably look a little bit different this year. I'm probably going to tailor it a little bit more for like the YouTube, algorithm's not the word I'm looking for, but like structure it, build it more for YouTube. So instead of kind of what it looks like now, I will probably do like, okay, and it's going to help me with time too. Just getting stuff out there because it's such a pain to have to hunt literally every day, have to try to get work done on everything else every day and try to edit all that stuff. So it'll still be semi-live. It just might be, hey, we killed a deer. We're going to make a video. Unless we say we go 2 weeks, we have some good hunts or something without killing deer, then we might put one out. But it'll probably be more like that. And then it'll be instead of, hey, here's an intro. Here's my hunt. Here's your hunt. Here's Blake's hunt. Here's the end. It'll probably be more like, here's the action all up front because that's what YouTube likes. And then it cuts off and then we start the hunt or we start that episode and then it's just that one hunt and we build it out. So it'll be a little bit more situated for YouTube. And then I haven't decided. I may go back then at the end of the season and do more of a formal kind of like it is now and put that out on Carbon TV like in third quarter next year. You know what I mean?
When everyone else is dropping their hunting shows.
Yeah. But I would say it'll probably look a little bit different this year. It'll still have a lot of the same aspects. It'll still be basically semi-live, but it probably won't be the same. Like, okay, here's a 15-minute...
hunt of us killing nothing.
Structured of us, not having a lot of good hunts. Mm-hmm. Because I still kind of like that, but also just for time management, it's going to be a lot better too. Mm-hmm. To get everything edited. So not to say we won't, like that's a for sure thing, but that's why I'm leaning. It'll probably be, and I think it'll do better for views on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Because the guys that are getting a lot of views on YouTube and subscribers are structuring their videos this way. And then like I said, I may do on Carbon TV, let's say instead of having 12 episodes this year, maybe we'll have 6 on there or something. Or maybe post a couple hunts where we kill something on Carbon TV and call it, not Fall Pursuit Season 3, but something else, and then have Fall Pursuit Season 3, kind of like Midwest Whitetail does, and then their Chasing November series. So then put that out next season as a more produced thing. So still keep the semi-live aspect of it, but then have the more produced show come out on Carbon TV, because Carbon TV is more structured for that style. YouTube's more structured for the other style. So just try to maximize the views we get and be more efficient on time, because I got to get as efficient as I can with all that kind of stuff, especially to try to get out there and film, mm-hmm. and then try to work up here and then try to get everything edited and still do the podcast and everything else. So speaking of everything else, no spoilers, but we just filmed the last two episodes of season 1 of Hunting Gaming. So those are going to be coming out soon and you'll get to see who won. Season's over. We already know. You guys don't. But... some of us aren't happy about it. One of us is really happy about it. But no spoilers.
Nope.
We'll see. You guys have to watch to see what happens. And then we'll probably go to... if I can get a PC, eventually we're going to play the Deer Hunter game that's over there behind Nate. I don't know if you can see it on the camera or not behind Nate. There it is, that orange case. If you guys recognize that orange case, we can be friends. But we're probably going to do that one at some point, and then we'll do Dangerous Hunts too. But anyway, that stuff will all be coming up, so... stay tuned for that. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, like, comment, all that kind of stuff. If you're anywhere else, follow us. Really, if you want to help out, leave a review because that helps a bunch. It pushes it out to other people and doesn't cost you anything. We also have the website, RidgeHunterOutdoors.com. You guys can go there. Other ways you can help us out, our partner for the episode, Rax Big Game Supplements. Go to RaxMineral.com. If you can use minerals where you're at, give the deer what they need, how they want it. Got minerals, got protein blocks. There's also, you can go to your local dealer and get feed, pelletized feed and meal feed, and all the dealer locator is online there at RaxMineral.com. And then, of course, Rodney Hawkins there at MFL. Midwest Farm and Land. If you guys are looking for some ground here around where we're at in the Midwest, he can get you hooked up with that. If you're looking to sell something, he can help you out with that too. And RG Outdoors is his business. They're located in Flora, Illinois. So if you're super local and you're looking for a good outdoor spot, he's got new stuff coming in all the time. He's fixing to do an open house. We're going to try to be there for that. I don't want to pin down the date for him because I know they've already had to change it a couple times. But when he does have an open house, we'll be there. So you can stop into RG Outdoors. You can look him up on Facebook, and he'll get you taken care of for some outdoor sporting goods too. So that's all I got for this week. We'll get you out of here so you can go get some sleep before you got to wake up early again in the morning. Yeah, he needs all of it he can get.
It's only 8:45.
We'll be close. By the time we get your seed and everything.
That's bedtime, man.
That's right. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you guys on the next one.